السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Last week Thursday night, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Magda Sahib Daud Barakatuh mentioned one incident in the majlis. One person who had taluk with Hazrat Maulana Shabari Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. So he wrote to Hazrat, and in his letter he was writing about all the difficulties in his life. That his health is no good, his child something, financial problem, this problem, that problem. Many, many negative things, whatever halat he was facing. So he wrote all of that. So in reply to him, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali wrote, it seems like you don't have any bounty of Allah Ta'ala on you. That you got no bounty. Everything you wrote, not one ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala are you acknowledging. You only wrote negative things, or this problem, that problem, nothing is going right for me, this is problem. But even one ni'mat too you didn't write. That alhamdulillah. I remember Hazrat Mu'ayyiz Fateh Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned this incident few times in the majalis, that one buzurg, he was not well at all, you know. Not well at all. So some people went to visit him. So generally when you go to visit somebody who's not well, so you will inquire, how are you? So the other day I heard one friend, somebody asked him, how are you? So he said, what, but you became a doctor now. You became a doctor, you want to know how I am. So they went to visit this buzurg. So they asked him, that how are you? So he started off by saying, alhamdulillah, aankh salamati se hai, kaan salamati se hai. In other words, you say, my eyes are fine, my ears are working, you know, my hands are fine, this, that. So he mentioned all the ni'mats, so many ni'mats he is enjoying. Different bounties of Allah Ta'ala. And then he said, ji, lekin thora sa bukhar bhi hai. He said, I got some fever also. I'm experiencing some fever. Generally, our situation is such that when we go through a little difficulty, small problem, for example, if we travel from here to Cape Town, whole road is fine, but one patch somewhere along the road, there were some potholes, you know. So that's the only part we'll remember. See, only potholes on the road. But all the good patches that we won't talk about. So our life too is like that. Although some roads got more potholes than. But I'm just giving an example. Our life also is like that. So many things are going well for us that we don't think about. The one difficulty that we are facing, now that consumes us now. Only that becomes a problem. And then that consumes us to such an extent that even our taluk with Allah Ta'ala becomes weak. We start disrespecting people around us. We are frustrated, we're losing our temper, all because of that one problem. Or a person is going into a depression or something, all because of one challenge in his or her life. Right? So as a Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali then wrote there, he said that, just take your eyes Is your eyes working? Now, if our eyes are working, so what a great ni'mat that is. What money can buy eyes? Can money buy eyes? Eyesight, to be able to have eyesight. What a thing it is. What a great ni'mat. Now like that, if a person has to look. Now sometimes, one thing goes wrong in our life. Now finish, now that thing, like the end of the world came away. Whereas we are still enjoying so many bounties, so many ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very, very big lesson for each one of us, that acknowledge the bounties of Allah ta'ala and remain in gratitude for the bounties. Yes, sometimes there will be difficulties also, but the difficulties can never outweigh the bounties. We are always experiencing much, 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 much more bounties than difficulties that we may be experiencing. So we continue with the majlis of Hazrat Ji Maulana Masrullah Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrat Ji is mentioning that I had digressed. Now we can't even remember when the digression took place. I digressed onto this topic while I was discussing talab. The beginning of the majlis was with regards to talab. So talab is of two types. One is a person, talab means you are seeking something, you got a desire to attain something, to achieve something. So talab is of two types. One type is talab for deen. Talab for deen. And the other is a talab for dunya. A person is all out to get the world. So there are two spheres to bear in mind, dunya and akhirat. Dunya and akhirat. The one in quest of the world, the one who wants to achieve everything in the world, he wants everything in the world, has been called a dog by Allah Ta'ala. Been called a dog by Allah Ta'ala. Dunya has been called carrion. Dunya has been referred to as carrion. What is carrion? That animal that died without slaughtering. It died, now it's lying there, it's just a corpse, you know. Now it's haram. You can't touch that animal, you can't eat it. So the Hadith Sharif states, Ad-dunya jifa. That the world is carrion, this dunya is carrion. وَطَالِبُوهَا كِلَابٌ. And the people who are in quest of this world, they are dogs. They are referred to as dogs. Right? So the world is referred to as carrion. And the people who are just chasing behind, the only objective in life is the dunya. So they have been referred to as dogs, as kilab, dogs. The ones in quest of the world are called dogs. In this statement, it is apparent that it is not befitting the noble status of a mu'min, of a believer, to be in quest of the world. Now you see, there's two different things. One is earning a livelihood. One is earning a livelihood. And the other is to be in quest of the world. It's two separate things. Right? To earn a livelihood is necessary. That is necessary to earn a livelihood. But to be in quest of the world in such a manner that there is no thought of halal, haram, there is no thought of purity, there is no thought of avoiding doubtful things. Why this unconcern? Why is a person totally unconcerned? He just wants to earn. He must just earn. The answer is because these are the demands of being in quest of the world. The person is in quest of the world. This is the effect of pursuit of dunya, that no thought is given as to how the objective is achieved. People say, as long as the objective is attained, whether it is jais, najais, whether it is halal, whether it is haram, nobody is bothered. Long as my shop is doing well, the GPs are rising, that's all I'm worried about. So this is what being in quest demands. The person is in quest of the world. Not a person who is earning a rosy. Earning a rosy, this is something that is faraz. This is something that a person gets sawab. A person is rewarded for earning a halal rizq. He's rewarded. But when a person makes that now his main aim and objective, from morning till night, the only thing in his head, all his efforts, everything, his resources, everything is in earning the world. All his efforts is put into that. Right? And he's not bothered which way is, whichever way is coming, long as he's coming, he's not bothered. So Allah Ta'ala has called dunya carrion through the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the one who is in quest of the dunya is referred to as a dog. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah remove the love of dunya from our heart. The one involved in earning, right, he is doing what is faraz. طَلَبُوا كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضًا. To earn a halal rosy, this is compulsory, it is faraz. But بَعْدَ الْفَرَائِضِ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضًا, meaning after all the other compulsory acts, that you don't make this earning like it's so faraz that now you discard all the other faraiz. Earning is faraz, but the other faraiz take precedence. The other faraiz take precedence over this. Right? However, we have reversed the order. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali says, we have reversed the order. The subservient has been made the objective, and the objective has been made subservient. In other words, the deen, which is objective, that has now been subservient to dunya. When I can make it for namaz with jamaat, I'll make it. When I can't make it, I can't make it because I'm in a shop, I'm working. If my namaz get delayed, it's okay, no problem. My wife also got a right over me, but now the shop is demanding now. What I must do now? Shop is demanding. The children also got a right. But the boss is calling me now. You know, boss wants me to work. Now what I must do now? You know, I have to work. He won't have the himmat to tell the boss that, you know what, you are infringing on my ibadat time now. I'm very sorry. I can't come to work at those hours. Or you are infringing on my family time. He won't have the himmat to tell the boss that. But he'll have the himmat to tell the family. Right? And he'll have the himmat to ignore the masjid. When he's ignoring the masjid for faraz namaz, what is he doing? He's ignoring whom? But he'll have the courage to do that. But he won't have the courage, you know. There's one incident. One elderly person from Pietermaritzburg told me this. He said that when he was a young man and he was starting, now that was apartheid days, you know. So he got a job in Sasol, right? That time Sasol never have petrol stations, but in the plant, the Sasol plant, he got a job. So when he went there, he went for the interview and he didn't think he'd get the job because that time now all the white were getting the jobs, and this was like a top job. However, he received a letter that his application, you know, was successful. So they called him in for a meeting to discuss now his, you know, finer details. So he went there. So he told them that, see, now it's a big company, right? The big company, the handsome package he's getting. So he said, when he went there, he told them, he says, see, before you all can start discussing anything further, I want to put certain conditions. So one of the people there says, you want to put conditions? An Indian person talking in days of apartheid to a white panel, big company. So he said, yes, no, I need to put certain conditions because those are things that I will never compromise. And it's no use us talking anything more if you all feel that I need to compromise these things. So they asked him, okay, what's the conditions? So he said, see, first I grow a beard and I cannot remove it. So number two, this is my dressing. Sunnat libas, that I can't change. And number three, I have my salah times, and that I can't compromise on. So namaz time, I'll have to go for my namaz. So, they said no problem. After they discussed whatever, they said no problem, that we will allow you. Everybody was shocked, his friends, his family, all said, what, they allowed you all this? Because that was a zamana where even a doctor couldn't grow a beard in the hospital. Hafiz Hansa Sahab of Ladysmith, when he qualified as a doctor, now he had to serve his, internship in the hospital. So when he went to work, so they told him, no, you have to remove your beard. It's unhygienic. You can't be with a beard in hospital. So he said, no problem. He'll leave work. Now imagine, you went to study in India, how many years, how much it costed, whatever, so many years you did, and now you got your qualification, right? You came back as a young man, now you got all these aspirations, and we talking about Hafiz Hansa Sahab, so now the Hafiz Hansa Sahab, who's a sheikh now, that would come to our mind. But rewind a little bit. Here he's a young man, he's come back from studies, he studied so many years, he's matric, then he went, did his studies, everything, and he came. Now you got so much of aspirations, right? You're a human being, now you're gonna get do your internship, you get a job, you'll be able to work, you'll earn, you'll marry, you'll buy your house, you're a doctor now and you're gonna earn well and whatever. So he took no problem. He'll give up the profession. Just like that. They don't want me to keep my beard. If there's no way that I can do my internship with my beard, then I'd rather give up the profession. I'll do something else. You see? Because what is my faraz is to earn a rozi, not to earn the world. So if in earning this rozi, my deen is going to be compromised, then leave it. I don't need it. And there are people in our communities who Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with this iman. Young people who have qualified, they are chartered accountants, they are people in other professions, they went to work in certain companies and things are not right. They gave it up. Although they were earning big money, they went and studied everything, now they're earning big money. I said, no, this, no, they want me to compromise my deen, they want me to lie, they want me to do all deception, deceive the people. No, no, no. I can't do it. Rather, I leave the profession. Why? Because it's faraz for me to earn my rozi. Right? I have to earn my rozi. But I can't become a talib of the dunya. I can't become the talib of the dunya. Allah Ta'ala will open some other road for me. Sometime in our quest for earning the world, we make zulam too. We make zulam. So many people, the bicharo staff member in his house, World War III is taking place. Why? Because he's leaving home before the sun can rise. He's coming home after the sun finished set. He's so tired. So there's world war happening in his house. Sometimes the children are going astray because the father is not there to make the tarbiyat. He's so busy working, bicharo. So what barakat is going to be in that business? That business can be giving charities, lot of charities, but at the expense of so many badduas. What barakat they'll be there? What barakat they'll be there? One day it will catch up. One day it will catch up. And when hiding from Allah Pak come in different forms, different ways, then a person, he can't even understand. The person then can't even understand that what happened. Why this is happening? Why that is happening? He can't even understand. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives so much of rozi. Allah Ta'ala is giving a person so much of rozi. But now the person still wants to go get involved in doubtful items, to sell doubtful items. He's looking for some loophole to sell doubtful items. I went to one place one day. Huge supermarket, you know. Huge supermarket. Now in a supermarket, how many items there are? Permissible items to sell. How many items? Right? And Allah Ta'ala is blessing the person. Now, we want to, expand. So now, say no. Now you add on electricals, or add on this, or add on that. Now when you're going to go into appliances and electricals, so with that now, the reps will come. Now for example, you're going to stock Samsung products, for example, right? I'm not working for Samsung. They don't give you no commission, nothing. I'm just giving an example, right? Say, for example, you already leave Samsung one side, Hamsung, right? You make one another name now. If there's one company called Hamsung, right? So now, the person say, right, no, I'm going to keep their products now. So you'll call the company, you'll call the rep, he'll come, they'll send a marketing person, they say, right, what were you ordering, right? How much floor space you giving us? Right, we'll design it for you, how it... So, the TV is where we'll put. Say, TV? No, I want fridge and stove and microwave and... Your store won't be complete without the TVs. The TVs is where you'll make your money. So, sometime, that person himself is not watching television. Sometime he himself is not even watching television. Right? But now in his store, big cinema size TVs. Right? And what's on those TVs now? All pictures. Because when you're selling TV, you have to have it on. No shop that's selling TV got off TVs. No? They're selling on TVs. You go in all these shops where they're selling TVs, big shops, the TVs must be on. So now, isn't there pictures on that of animate objects, people and all that? So are malaika gonna come there now? And Allah Pak is giving you so much of barakat, you're expanding this, everything. Now why must bring that product inside? But you see, the dunya says your store won't be complete until you don't have that. Now no, man, I'm competing on that level now, so it has to be there. That's just one example. So many examples of this nature. A person, he's doing his business according to Shariat, everything. And Allah is giving him. Allah is giving him. He's running the business. You know, he got his staff. So everything is carrying on well. But now he says, no, man, no, I need to get to the next level now. And the next level. Now when he tries to get to that next level and next level, his shop has to become more and more kafirized, for want of a better word. It has to get more and more like that. Yes, there's no need for it to be like that. He can expand. Nobody says he must, Allah is opening the road for him, Allah is giving him. He can expand and he can still keep it proper according to Sharia. If he is a talib of deen, he will keep it according to Sharia. So that's all, that's their ideas. I don't have to adopt their ideas. It's a simple thing. Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Saraji Sahib mentioned the other day that one young person qualified as an architect. You know? Now, by if I say somebody qualified as an architect or somebody, that doesn't mean I'm promoting you must go and study. This is another musibat now. Our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was totally against the schooling concept, going to school and all that. He advised all his murids and everything, by take your children out of school, let them do homeschooling. And for those people who couldn't do the homeschooling, then he started to the Taqwa Boys School, Taqwa Girls School, send them there. Don't register the school, nothing, send them there. They'll be away from all the fitan. But now sometime in the bayan, you're giving one example or something, now he may have said, yeah, alright, we need some doctors, we need some... Now, today people want to take those statements and say that, no, 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 Hazrat was pro-schooling. Hazrat was pro-schooling. Hazrat was, see how broad-minded he was. That means he wanted the people to go varsity and study and all that. Whereas he's so much, he discouraged this. But khair, that is a different topic. So anyway, I'm just clarifying, because today by people just take, the other day, one clip came, you know, one clip. So that clip had one heading, something about, you know, if we don't sort out our amal, then Allah's azab can come. After a couple of days, the same clip came again. South Africa is doomed. Which clip is this now? I put it on, it's the same clip now. Then somebody else now, say, another clip came. South Africa is a Burma waiting to happen. I said, Mara, put this same clip. So everybody who wants one message to go across, they will just pull out what they want from there and put their things, you know. So now if I say some person qualified as an architect, they say, no, so Morana said everybody must go varsity and study, become architect and become this and become that. So khair. So this brother became an architect, young person. So he came to Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Saraji Sahib for some nasihat, some advice. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib told him, let's see, design a Muslim house. Design a Muslim house. So anybody, Muslim people want to build a house, they must come by you to design a Muslim house. So you say, yeah, kya hai, you know, everything they taught us in varsity, they didn't teach us what is a Muslim house. Say, what is a Muslim house? So Muslim house, number one, there's no open plan. Can't have open plan. Now today's times you see so many houses, you go, even wealthy people's houses, this and dindar people's house, all open plan. Everything is. Why? Because the architect told them must do like that. The designer told them must do like that. But does that fit well with us? Can it work for a mu'min? It can't work. We need our parda system. So Muftisab told him, design a Muslim house. And then he gave him few examples of what you must take into consideration when you're designing a house for a Muslim. So, coming back to what we were saying, is that a person, sometimes Allah Ta'ala is giving him, his rozi is being earned. But now he doesn't just want his rozi. He wants more than that. His greed gets him now. Greed gets him. And then in that quest, then he starts compromising his dini principles. He will start keeping doubtful items. He will start, if it's Easter time, he'll start keeping hot cross buns and Easter eggs. Now he got 1,000 items there in the shop, which he's selling the whole year. Allah is giving him barakat. He's selling the whole year. Now why must Easter time he sell all these items, which got to do with shirk? What is the need for him to stock that item? Every other month he is selling goods, he's earning his rozi. Why does he need to do this? Christmas time come, he's got a Christmas sale. He's got a Christmas sale. Then what items people buy for Christmas, kuffar, now he wants to keep those things also. What is the need for him? New Year's time, now he wants to keep all this fireworks. Allah is giving him so much of rozi, why must he bring that into his business? Diwali time, now he wants to keep the products that the Hindus use to celebrate Diwali and all that. Why must he bring that? Allah is giving him so much barakat, so much rozi. But now he wants to bring that in his shop. What the Christians, that he wants to bring, I'm not talking about things that are general purpose. Things that are specific to their evil customs. Now he wants to keep those things. Why? Because that's what's the thing to sell now. That's how I'm going to make money. So then it shows that the person is chasing the world. He's chasing the world. Even though he may tell himself, no, I'm not chasing the world. But he is chasing the world because he is compromising his dini principles to earn the dunya. Not to earn a rozi. Not to earn a rozi. And the last thing to keep in mind here is that there is one dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the lengthy dua, one portion of the dua. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا وَلَا غَايَةَ رَغْبَتِنَا. There's no time to go into the whole meaning. But what the world mustn't be my biggest problem. And you see today, a person, he can be missing namaz upon namaz, not bothered. His daughter can be in an environment of guna. Be pardagi, what? No problem, not problem. His wife is leaving the house, her hair too is not covered. No problem. He got interest, he's buying house on interest, car on interest, bond, this, no, all that, no problem. But just let the shop something happen. Landlord gave notice. Shop is not doing well. Now, hey, I'm so sick. I got tension, pressure, this problem, that problem. So what's happening? The world is becoming my main fikr. If Allah is testing me with my business, right? Allah is testing me. وَنَقْصِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. There is a slight decrease now. I'm still eating. Allah never leave me starving. I'm dying of starvation or something. No. Allah is providing for me. But things are bad. Maybe I even got into some little bit debts to now, owing to people, whatever. Right? But I'm not gone into the debts because I'm gambling. I'm not gone into the debts because I'm being extravagant and lavish. Business went down. Things is a bit of a problem. Right? But Allah is still allowing me to read 5 times namaz. Allah is still keeping me with iman. Allah is still keeping me away from guna. Then why must this thing consume me so much that now I can't concentrate on anything else? A person says, I got problem in my dunya, so I can't concentrate in my namaz. No. His concentration in his namaz supposed to be such that it even removes his dunya problem. So you see, where's our problem? Our problem is this. We have reversed the order. What is the objective has been made subservient, and what is subservient has been made the objective. If we turn it around, put it the right way, then our life will be in perspective. Allah Rabbul Izzat. See, I mentioned this before, that sometimes you get the young people, you know, they want jihad. Bhai. So, oh, Morana, pass the fatwa. No, going jihad. Right? And you know what? If there's any problems, we there, you know what I mean? That's a good jazba. It's a good jazba, right? It's good. But see, Nabi Sasram is teaching us that if a person read 4 rakats namaz after Maghrib, leave Awa means 6 rakat. 4 rakat namaz, 2 sunnah, 2 nafal. It is as if he went for one battle after one battle after one battle. So I'm not saying you mustn't have the jazba to give your life, right? But currently we don't have a jihad happening. But we got those 4 rakats to read. But why are we not reading that 4 rakats? No, just minimum that 2 rakats we read, that 2 wal asr, inna atayna, finish. Khalas, my job is done. But we're having meeting upon meeting upon meeting. But if there's unrest, what are we going to do? What strategy are we putting? What are we putting here? How are we going to do this? But you got your MO, you got your this, you got your that. But all that is there in his place, right? That may happen, that may not happen. So the question we need to ask ourselves, all those meetings, all that preparation, is it for the preservation of our deen, or is it for the preservation, solely preservation for our dunya? Gabra gaya, no, mustn't happen to my shop. Mustn't happen. No, so we need all those things in place now. Or is it for my deen? For my deen, I'm doing this for my deen. If it is for my deen, then I will bring other aspects of my deen alive too. Because I'm doing it for sawab. We'll conclude on this. One time, one person came to us, Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he said that, you know, this year, you know, I never get this thing to go for Hajj, you know. He went for so many Hajj, and after that, now that Sauk system came in and everything. So he was very disappointed, like, you know, after so many years, now I'm not going for Hajj, like, you know, I'm really feeling it, my heart is that side. And so Hazrat asked him, said, well, put your hand on your heart and ask yourself a question. You are really lamenting the loss of the sawab of the Hajj? Or now, you know, your pattern got cut, like, you know. You can't say now when 20 in a row, 21 in a row. What's really hurting you? Because if you're really lamenting the loss of the sawab, then why are you not staying till Ishraq? One Maqbool Hajj and Umrah, you got it. After Fajr, sit down a few minutes, wait till Ishraq, read your Ishraq, one Maqbool Hajj and Umrah, sawab, you got it. That you don't want to do. But this year now you. So next day he came, Mahazi said, no, you're right. He was honest. He said, no, you're right. I'm lamenting that now my record is broken. See. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, you know, keep us on sirat mustaqim, give us ikhlas. These are all islahi points, but people will argue the points and say, no, but at least that and at least this. We don't want at least and at least. Right? You know, I was reading one fellow's saying, he said, don't do your best. When he said, don't do your best, do whatever it takes. Don't do your best, do whatever it takes. So we want to do that in our deen, for our islah, our deen. We don't just do the minimum or just, no. We want to do whatever it takes to make Allah Ta'ala happy, because we know that no matter what we do, it's still not enough. No matter what we do, it's still not enough. But we want to try and do whatever it takes. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyi'atina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka as-sihha wal 'iffa wal amana wa husnal khulq wal ridha bil qadar. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله.